This week we're going to be speaking about Isur Hana Mi Ma'aseh Akum. In other words, it's a separate gezerah that Chazal made that a Jew is not allowed to derive benefit from a malacha that was done by a non-Jew for him. Okay? And again, the purpose of the gezerah is in order to keep the spirit of Shabbat and also to make sure that Jews don't do malacha by accident. First, let us define exactly what is Ma'aseh Akum. I said, if a non-Jew does a malacha for a Jew, and it doesn't have to be one that was asked for. In other words, you could have a non-Jew on his own initiative decides to do a malacha for a Jew. So it's also for that Jew to get hana. If the Isur is an Isur d'oraita, if the malacha is an Isur d'oraita, then it becomes also for any Jew to get hana. If the Isur that they did was an Isur d'rabbanon, then it's only also for the Jew that it was done for and his household. Okay? If a person is not sure why the non-Jew did the malacha, as an example, a custodian, let's say in university, flips on the lights, okay, in a room. Did he do it for the Jews, or did he do it for the non-Jews, or did he do it without thinking, etc.? So the best way to find out is to ask him. But if you can't ask him, so then, according to the halacha, you go according to the rov. If rov of the people in the room are Jewish, then you assume that he did it for Jews. If rov are non-Jewish, and you assume he didn't do it for the Jews. Okay. Pardon me? Again, you don't have rov, you have to ask. I guess if you have a suffix, you could probably be maker. It's a pure suffix. Yes?
What's officially defined as
hana'ah? Benefit?
Right. Meaning.
Last week I explained that that absence of light is not hana'ah. You need a chayfetz, you need an object that you're getting hana'ah from. Okay? Alright, it is mutter for a Jew to ask a non-Jew to do an action, like, maybe it'll be easier for me to give an example and later to find, like, let's say, wash the dishes, even though the Jew knows that the Akum is going to be using hot water. To use hot water on Shabbos is a problem of Bishul. Okay, and very possibly, even d'oraita, possibly d'oraita, not necessarily. In other words, when you turn on the hot water tap, cold water somewhere rushes into a tank and becomes mavushal by the hot water that's in the tank. Got it? That's how the hot water system works. And therefore, it is not mutter to use hot water on Shabbos if you're talking about a system that has Yad Soledet Bo, 45 degrees Celsius. The Yatzaleda Bo is the heat that a hand would recoil or jump back when touching that amount of heat. In any case, you could ask a non-Jew to wash dishes, even though you know that non-Jew is going to use the hot water, because the usage of the hot water facilitates his or her job. Okay, so one could say that it's as though really he or she is doing it for themselves. One could send the maid downstairs to the cellar to bring up a bottle of soda, even though they know that the maid is going to flip on the lights in order to find the bottle. Of course, there, the flipping on the lights is being done for her, even though indirectly you are benefiting from it. It's not considered hana because she is directly benefiting from it. Now, once she goes downstairs to get the soda, you can even tell her, don't shut the lights. Because again, the malacha was primarily done for her. When she flipped on the light, she wasn't even thinking of the fact that you could get hana, and therefore you let her get hana since the malacha was done for a goy and not for a Jew. Yes?
So in the case of the janitor turning on the lights in the university, if it's his job to turn on the lights at 3 in the afternoon, that's fine to be in the room at 3:30? Or to be in the room at 2:50?
If he's turning on the lights for Jews, let's say you have a janitor that works for a shul, okay, or a maid that works in your house, and her job is to turn on the lights, that doesn't help. It's like it is her job. Because he has to have intention of lighting the room for somebody specific. Yes?
If when you ask the non-Jew to wash the dishes, they say, should I use hot water or cold water? Can you tell them hot water? then you're actively telling them to.
I wouldn't say. I don't think I would say use our water. Yeah, I would just say use whatever you want, or, you know, whatever is easier for you. Yeah.
Well, by saying whatever is easier,
yes.
That means.
So if you go to shul and you know the caretaker's turned on the lights in that morning, Shabbat, he's not Jewish, he's turned on the lights in the morning, Shabbat, should you have power there? Are you benefiting from it?
Well, I'll get to it a little bit. That's a good question. Yeah.
Can you do some research? Like, if I want the lights on in the basement, can I estimate to get something from the basement? Even
yes.
If I didn't want that object?
Yes, 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 you could do that. Okay. What if a maid says, oh, it's dark in here, let me turn on the lights for you? And you say to the maid, no, I don't want you to turn the lights on, and you make it clear that you really don't want her to turn on the lights. And she does the malacha for you bal korcha. Okay? That is also not considered ma'isa akum. Now, you can't make a game out of it. In other words, the person, the goy, has to understand that you told them you don't want the lights on. She decided to put on lights for you anyway, against your will. That's not a problem of ma'isa akum. Okay?
Why do you have to say no? I mean, if she just does it because she thinks it's dark in there,
that's a good point. I want to make that clear. The Isur of Ma'isa Akum is a gezeira against the chayfetz that's created by a guy for a Jew doing a malacha. It's got nothing to do with who asked for it. As long as the guy had intention for doing it for a Jew, it's asur, except for the situation where the Jew says, I don't want it. And then she decides, I'll do it anyway. In that situation, there's no Isur. Okay? Also, in a situation that a non-Jew does a malacha for a chole, as we mentioned last week, there's no gezeira of ma'isa akum, amir la'akum, when it comes to a chole, and even the non-cholim could later get hanah. Best example is, let's say, you know, a light, to turn on a light for a chole, so even the non-chole can get hanah. Yeah, Yosef, you have a question? Okay. I mentioned before that there's a difference as far as other people, other Jews, if it's a deraita or it's a derabanan. And it's not always all that easy to know what is a deraita or what is a derabanan. I will give you some simple examples, or the common examples. Turning on air conditioning is an issur derabanan according to most deot. Okay, and turning on a fluorescent light, like these lights over here, are fluorescent, meaning there's no filament that glows. It's gas that's glowing inside the bulb, according to most deot, is a derabanan, as opposed to incandescent, where you have a wire, a filament glowing. According to most poskim, that's considered an issur deraita. Obviously, a bishul from is a deraita. When it comes to reheating food, we're also more machmir. Hopefully, I'll get to that a little bit later. Okay? Yes.
But even when you're turning a fluorescent light bulb, it's sending electricity into there, which is therefore causing the gases to light up. So
electricity per se, according to the accepted psak, electricity per se
is
not a deoraita, it's not fire. It's only what, in other words, heating up a metal so that it glows is an issur deoraita. Okay? All right.
Why should heating metal or force?
According to the Rambam, it's bishul. According to other Rishonim, it's eish. It gives off light.
But I thought the sun, like if it's close to the sun, that's light. It's not considered.
Not the same thing.
Okay.
Not the same thing. Okay. Let's go a little bit more into defining pleasure or benefit. I used to mention last week, you need an object, therefore, darkness is not considered something, an object, a chayfetz that you're getting hanah from, so that if the maid sees that you don't want to waste electricity, or you want to sleep, or whatever, and on her own she goes and shuts the light, there's no problem of getting hanah from it. Additional light, you know, if there's enough light for you to function in the room, whatever function you're doing, let's say it's reading, but you would like to have more light. If the maid on her own decides to flip on the light, another light for you, an additional light, you're allowed to get hanah from that additional light because the additional light is not significant enough to be considered asur. if the original light bulb went off, and now all you have is a light bulb that she turned on, then you couldn't get hana from it. Okay. Similarly, if there's light outside because it's daylight, and she flips on the, a bulb so that you could see better in the room, once the sun sets to a point where you wouldn't be able to read without the bulb, you wouldn't be able to get hana from that bulb anymore. Okay. So addition of light is not considered hana. Now, if a goy does a malacha for you, and let's, as an example, baking a cake. So when are you allowed to get hana? We already said you can't get hana on Shabbos. There's an additional period of kadesh yaseh, the amount of time it would take to bake that cake after Shabbos, that you also must not get hana, because if you were to eat the cake a minute after Shabbos is over, then essentially you're getting hana from the fact that she did a malacha for you on Shabbos, because it took 45 minutes to bake the cake. So you would have to wait 45 minutes and then you would be allowed to eat the cake. That's the shir of kadesh yaseh. When it comes to Maisa Akum, there is no Isser of Tiltul Muktzah. A, there's not considered Hana halachically, and B, there's not even an Isser Amira. In other words, you could tell your maid to move any Muktzah object that you want, a candle, anything. I don't have to give a list. All Muktzah objects, you could tell a guy directly, could you move this from here to here, and there's no problem at all. When it comes to food, Chazal are extra machmir, probably because it's the closest thing to a Jew's heart. And therefore, when it comes to food, even if a goy did something for themselves, an example, boiled water for coffee, for themselves, and there was leftover water in the pot, you would not be allowed to get hana from that that extra water. The chashash is that maybe next time she'll intentionally be marbe, you know, add more water because she knows that you could have the leftover water. So Chazal, what goes there, and when it comes to food, you're not allowed to get hana even if a goy did it for a goy or did it for herself. Another interesting halacha is to be marbe dalar amud pershut harabim. There's a machoket rishonim. However, according to the vast majority of rishonim, it is considered a maisa hana, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama paskin. But if a goy is marbe dalar amud pershut harabim for a Jew, that is also considered deriving benefit. And therefore, if you're talking about, again, Rishut Rabim Diraita, it would be also for any Jew to get Hana until Kadesh Yaseh. If you'd be talking about a Rishut Rabim Dirabanan, like a Carmelite or whatever, so then it would be also for the person it was done for. Now the Ramah, basically comes out with an interesting psak based on, I think, I'm trying to think which one of the Bali Tosafot passing like that, but Ramah says that there's no need to correct the Jew who gets hana from an akum when it comes to dalar amot. The most obvious example is if your father gets the newspaper delivered on Saturday, so you're not, according to the Ramah, you're not chayav to inform him that it's asur. Okay, ein limchot, you don't have to be moche. Another thing the Mishnah Berurah also passes like, if a guy carries Dalar Amud Rishut HaRabim with Tzorach Shabbos Bishat HaDchak, one could be Mekil and get Hana from it. As an example, I don't know, for some reason your entire meal is in Rishut HaRabim and the guy brings it, you're not allowed to ask the guy to do it, but if the guy brought it, according to Mishnah Berurah, that would be considered like Tzorach Shabbos Shasadchak, and you get Hana. Yeah, Kiva. Shasadchak, meaning you really, really need it. It's not like I need to know, let's say, the basketball scores or the football scores, but the example I gave was, let's say, your Shabbos meal. That would be a Shasadchak.
Why is
yes.
You need more than that?
Yes.
If your parents ask you to bring in the newspaper, would you?
Your parents ask you to bring it in?
Yeah.
Not from a Rishut HaRabim.
Right.
I mean, from a different room.
No, from my porch.
Which was Rishut HaYachid. They ask you, please bring me the newspaper.
Right.
I think you'd be able to do it. I think they would be able to get it. They would be able to get it on their own. Right?
Right. According to Ramah, you
wouldn't have to correct them. Yep.
what's wrong about bringing
from okay,
Syria?
Let's, you know, before we get into newspaper questions, let's focus a little bit more on newspapers per se. A little subsection on newspapers, unless you have a question that has nothing to do with newspapers.
Yeah, is time considered halacha?
Time.
In other words, somebody saves you time on the
with a time screen. Machine?
No, but they
turn the lights so you can find quicker
no, not even that. More like they're driving the bus already on Shabbos and you're already on the bus and are you like...
Could you do something practical? Something practical?
How are you on this bus?
Or they do a chana for you for Motzei Shabbos. Like they take they do malacha that...
Hachan is a malacha d'rabbanan, according to most Dale. According to most, not according to all, according to most
Dale.
You can't get hanah from it. I don't think so. I know, it's an interesting question. Maybe there's no heftza involved if, let's say, they pack a suitcase for you on Shabbos.
Right.
I have to look it up again. I have to look it up. Okay, yes, Yosef.
I'm assuming you're going to deal with this later, but do we make distinctions? Let's say there's a hana'a for you and them. Do we make distinctions like how much is for you or for them, or as long as they get some personal hana'a?
No, if they flipped on the light for you and them,
yeah,
then it's awesome.
It has to be completely not
it has to be completely for them. And then they could be left, you know, they could have left over. Another, by the way, a very, very important to halacha that many people don't know. If the malacha that was done, Yoni, you're going to want to hear this. If the malacha that was done was there's a machloket rishonim as to it, whether it's osur or mutter, okay, according to the Mishnah Berurah, Bir Halacha, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchos are also passages like that. If it's a machloket rishonim, then there's no isur hanah. And even if you hold it, this is osur, there's no isur hanah.
As long as somebody says that it's not osur.
Right. As long as there's a daya that says it's not osur, you don't have to be noheg isur on it if the guy did it for you. Okay? Example, let's say your maid opened up a bottle cap for you on Shabbos. And you're sure that that's an isur skila for sure. You're sure it's an isur skila, but not, no doubt. But you know that, as example, Rabbi Yosef holds that it's mutter. So then you'd be allowed to get hanah from the bottle cap. Yeah. You wouldn't say tell her you could do it because you hold it. It's also, you hold the malacha is also. But the b'di'evet, if there's a day that says it's mutter, there's no isra or not. Yes, Zach.
Let's say you're in a hotel and you're going to go like the 10th floor and there's a lift. Can you wait for a non-Jew to get in the lift and then get in after them? And they'll press. You hope they press ground floor and then.
You get in, they look at you, and what floor are you going to? And you say, well, wherever you're going.
Yeah.
You get arrested.
Is that like Charles
Lindbergh?
Huh? Does that work?
There are some dayot that hold that this walking into a lift, your weight itself, is causing on a derabbanan level more electricity to flow, etc., etc. And that's why they have like, there are two different kinds of elevators in Israel. Shabbos elevators. There's like the regular Shabbos elevator, and there's the Mahadran Shabbos elevators. The Mahadran Shabbos elevators are electronically wired so that the weight doesn't cause extra whatever. No, there are people. There are people that are marked on that, and therefore they won't take an elevator that has a Shabbos clock on it. Unless it's a Mahadran one. So that in your case, even if it would be a Shabbos clock, maybe perhaps you shouldn't go in. But if you go into the elevator and he or she presses the button for themselves, then the malacha is done by them, and it's the same thing as like a Shabbos clock elevator, where again, there are some that would say that you should walk up 10 flights rather than walk in even if they wouldn't be there.
That's some of you do.
I would walk up the 10 flights, yes, but if a person would be an older person or an invalid or whatever, there's no doubt that you could use it. Okay. Yes.
Mission is asked a question. Didn't you say there's enough book there about whether you can do it or not, and you can go by the makeup again? So if there is an opinion that you're allowed to get music.
No, no, because there, when you walk in, it's you that's adding on.
It's not awkward.
You understand? Your weight on the elevator is changing the current. Huh?
Isn't that a machloket whether or not that's
us? The rule I gave, The rule I gave you is for is b'di'evet. If the boy does something, okay, in the din of ma'isa akum. I'm not talking about you doing it. I want to get this clear. You didn't hear from me. I did not say that as long as there's some day that says you to do on Shabbos, you could do anything you want on Shabbos. But that's what you're insinuating. That's what you're insinuating.
No. The guy passed the button already. Zach's key.
No, and I said by walking into the elevator, you're causing a different flow of electricity. It's you causing it. Yes.
What kind of elevator does the yeshiva have?
Well, I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Does
I don't
anybody
know.
Anybody actually use the yeshiva?
My bet is I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to bet. I don't know.
Oh, by the side of the
service. I never went to. I don't know.
It's one flight.
And I'm assuming that when yeshiva put that elevator in, they assume that only invalids are going to use it and not yeshiva guys. Okay, let's get to newspapers. Now newspapers, the challenge of a newspaper on a practical level, you have to really check three different halachot. One halacha is Ma'isa Akum that we spoke about a little bit. Another halacha is Shtari Hedyotot. Shtari Hedyotot basically means secular documents. Literally, it means secular documents. There is a Gezeirah d'Rabbanan, an independent Gezeirah d'Rabbanan, that precludes, that does not allow you to read secular documents on Shabbos. That, the Gemara says, that's the Chol HaDeot, there's no machloket about that. The machloket Rishonim is, why did Chazal make this Gezeirah? According to Rashi, it's an Isser similar to Dabar Dover, meaning Chazal made the Gezeirah in order to keep Shabbos-tik. You shouldn't be doing things that are not Shabbos-tik. It's improper to be reading secular documents on Shabbos. The Rambam understood the reason for the Gezeirah is Shema Yimachek, you might come to erase the document, which is a little bit interesting because the Gemara gives an example of Shtar Hedyotot is like you have some kind of a picture on the wall with an inscription underneath it. So the Gemara says you shouldn't read the inscription underneath it because it's Shtar Hedyotot. That's a little bit hard to understand. Like the Rambam would think that someone would take out an eraser and start to erase and correct the inscription underneath the picture, but that's what the Rambam says. And therefore it really, in other words, the point is that even if the original Gezeirah was that you might erase or correct something, it extends to many different things. The things that one should refrain from reading are either things that normally you would be editing or changing, like a waiter's list or a guest list, or, you know, a list of a to-do list, things that you have to do, that type of thing. Things that have to do with business, things that have to do with specifically doing malacha, is also a problem of Shai Hedyotot, and a person should not read it. Now, the question is raised, if a person receives on Shabbat a letter, let's say the letter is not sealed, for argument's sake, or a newspaper, so is it a problem of Shtari Hedyotot? So, number one, we're not talking, when you read a newspaper, you should try your best not to be reading about the sales, not to be reading too much about on the business section. You really shouldn't be reading those things in any case. I'm talking about all the other things. Is there an issue of Shtari Hedyotot for a letter or a newspaper? So according to Rashi and the Rashba, it's Asr. It equals Shtari Hedyotot as well. Even a letter from a friend would be a problem of Shtari Hedyotot. According to Rabbeinu Tam and Ramban, it's completely Mutter, because they limit Shtari Hedyotot to be literally, you know, some kind of a legal document or some kind of a list, you know, that you normally would be changing. There are other Rishonim like Rabbeinu Yonah that say you could look at it but don't read it, because they understood it as an extension, meaning don't read it. Don't read it out loud. They understood it as an extension of Dabar Davar, which would limit your Dibur. Okay? The most interesting sheet is Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham says that if you hadn't read it yet, because it might have something that's very important for you to know on Shabbos, so you're allowed to read it. That's Rabbeinu Yerucham. In any case, the reason why I'm giving you all these Rishonim is because the Beit Yosef kind of like combines a different shitah and comes to a conclusion that if you haven't read it yet once before and you don't read it out loud, you would be able to read a letter or a newspaper on Shabbos. Okay? Next question.
Books?
The same thing. I'm saying books that like a cookbook that describe doing a malacha, a person should not read.
What about novels?
Novels would be okay, definitely for Ashkenazim.
Okay,
if you get hanah from it, it'll be okay. See, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about it, like Divrei Malachim. Divrei Malachim, it's even one of the Zmirot we say on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Right? Divrei Malachim is kind of like stories, you know. Okay. But the Ramos Meko, yeah.
So a professional journal would be okay if it's just not a business journal?
It depends what your profession is, yeah.
It's not directly related to it's just
yes.
Something you...
Yes, if something you're reading out of interest, as an example, it just interests you, it will be okay. Yeah?
Revision notes from exam.
Who?
Revision notes from exam.
Chazara you mean. Again, look, there are some people that try not to study on Shabbos. But if what you're learning is something that is mutter to read on Shabbos, like history, like, you know, in other words, things that would normally be mutter to read on Shabbos, if you feel that you get value on Shabbos, then it would be mutter to do. If you're convinced that the course you're taking is no value whatsoever, and your only motive is to revise for a test you're having after Shabbos, it is a problem of hachana. It is a separate issue. Yes?
So studying notes for a business class would be a
no-no. It would be a no-no. Okay. Anyways, the second issue I mentioned is muktzah. Now, why would a newspaper or a letter be muktzah? Because it comes from outside of the tchum. The halacha is, there's a din of tchum Shabbat. Not only is it also for you to walk out of your tchum, but if an object was brought from outside of your tchum into your tchum, okay, it has a din of muktzah, because it wasn't within your realm of control before Shabbat. So that object would be muktzah. If a guy brings something from outside of the tchum, even for himself, you couldn't get hana from it. And that would also apply to letters and newspapers. The saving grace, why in most cases it's not usur, is because as long as there's a Jew in the area of where that object originated, such that for that Jew it wasn't muktzah because it was within his tchum, so then it becomes mutter for all Jews. You know, you don't say something's muktzah for some Jews and not for other Jews, according to most Deot. And therefore, if the newspaper or letter was before Shabbos, the second before Shabbos started, was in an area where there were other Jews, so then it wouldn't be a problem of muktzah. Okay, understood? Yes.
Do you have to check out where it was printed, the area printed in, or if it was on the truck and delivered at the time being?
Well, let's take a newspaper. Let's take a newspaper example. What time at night do you think newspapers are? The Saturday morning newspaper. When is it printed?
Usually 4 in the morning.
You think 4?
Three.
Something like that. Something like whatever. Through 4, probably 3 a.m. It's printed on Shabbos. Pardon me? Right. If a factory is not within the tchum of any Jews at all, it would be muktzah.
In Detroit, the Saturday paper was delivered on Sunday and Sunday on Saturday. Or
okay.
Actually both that were on Saturday.
So yes, gross.
Why is it not a problem for
us to I'm getting to that. That's my last issue. I haven't gotten to it. Yes?
If the place where it's coming from is within the Erev, does that make a difference?
No, if it's within the Erev, it's within the Tchum. It's within your Tchum. Yeah.
So in Israel, is it pretty sad?
Pardon me?
In Israel.
The newspaper is not printed on Shabbos in Israel.
Oh,
okay. Yes. All right. Now, what about the problem of Isur Maisa Akum? There's an Isur Maisa Akum, number one, in the printing of the newspaper. Number two, in the delivery truck that brings it. A, from outside the Tchum, and B, in Rosh Hashanah. And then lastly, the newspaper boy or the mailman who brings it from the sidewalk up your steps onto your porch, or even if he throws it from one Rosh Hashanah to the next. So, According to most Deot, when you have a newspaper being printed for, I don't know, how many millions of people, even if a certain percentage of them are Jews, even if those Jews have a prescription, a subscription, excuse me, according to most, that wouldn't be considered Nasa Bishvil Bishvilam. There are some Deot that say that if you have a subscription, it's as though, it doesn't make a difference if it's one out of a million, you're still asking that guy to press the button for you. But here you're talking about actions that, again, I was pressing one button for a million copies of a newspaper. It's insignificant, according to most Deot. Similarly, if they load a truck with whatever, I don't know how many thousands of letters or newspapers, etc., one could also probably argue that it's kind of nothing, and the malach of driving the truck from point A to point B, it's kind of insignificant. It's hard to say that was done for a Jew, unless you live in a predominantly Jewish area where there's a lot of Jews, and then, you know, the truck could be whatever, you know, 50% for Jews, it would be a little bit more of a problem. Okay, lastly, from the sidewalk up the walk, so it, obviously if you live in a place that you have an Eruv, and the truck drove into the Eruv, so to speak, so then there's less of a problem of malacha in the fact that they'll then, you know, sing one by one, take out newspapers and deliver to a particular house. Of course, you're within an Eruv. If you don't have an Eruv, then for sure it's a malacha, and most probably considered a malacha d'rabbanan, most probably, because the reshut that, in most cases, it's not all cases, the reshut that, you know, bringing it from a sidewalk up the walk to the house is probably from a Carmelite to a reshut hayachid, and it's an issur d'rabbanan. That issur d'rabbanan alone is enough to aser reading the newspaper that's delivered to your house. In other words, an issur d'rabbanan was done particularly for you when they delivered the newspaper or the mail to your house, and therefore you're not allowed to read it. And even if it was ordered by your father, you being the Bnei Bayit can't read it. What you could do is you can go to your friend's house and read his newspaper, because it was delivered to them, not to you. No, you can't switch. The Magen Avraham thought of that. You can't switch newspapers with your neighbor. Yes, Yosef.
For Masa Akum in general, if the non-Jew, by doing an action, knows it will have some benefit for you, but he specifically doesn't want it to benefit you, and he knows it will anyway, there's some kind of like separation thing where it's still Masa Akum for that? Like, there's some anti-Semite randomly turns on a light.
No. I mentioned that last week. In other words, there's no din of psikreshet by an akum. In other words, if it's a davar shel mischaven, there's no kavanah for you.
No, but like, he knows it will affect you, but he doesn't, like, that's not why he's doing it, but he, I don't know.
Then it's not considered asur.
Okay, sure.
Yes?
With the newspaper issue, let's say you're in university and you have a non-Jewish roommate, and...
Lo Aleinu.
Okay, anyway. It's probably easier to have a non-Jewish roommate than a Jewish roommate who's not from...
Lo Aleinu.
Anyway, but if that were to be the case where you were to live, let's say, in an apartment building or some kind of living arrangement where you're living with a non-Jew and your non-Jewish housemate gets a newspaper, let's say, that was brought... through the
tomb,
would you be considered
B'nai
B'ayit for them?
No, you're not B'nai B'ayit. You could read it.
Anything that comes into the room...
You could read it, but that's not a good enough reason to go to Princeton. Yes, Yoni. I can't, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I don't think you have to be choshesh. In other words, in Chutzlaris, I think the percentage is so small. I don't think you have to worry that maybe that. I don't think so. But it's a good point. In other words, if a Jew does a malacha, it's also to get hana until after Shabbat. There's no din of kadesh yaseh. There's no din of kadesh yaseh. If a Jew bakes you a cake on Shabbos, then the cake is also forever to you. But if a Jew does a malacha, Yeah, it would be also Gehana. Yeah, Zach.
So just on what Bernie said, there's been a case in England where a Jewish newspaper, it was Yom Tov Wednesday, Thursday, and a Jewish newspaper came out Friday.
Can happen. A Jewish newspaper? Like a JC?
Yeah, something like that. Exactly. And it's probably written on Thursday.
On Yom Tov.
Yeah. Is that...
In Yom Tov Sheni.
Yeah. Are you not allowed to...
You're not allowed to get Hannah. No, you're not. Yeah.
In Brooklyn, there's my fellow's going there in Brooklyn. There is an Arab. We don't go according to it because there's Shabbos. There's almost 600,000 people going through Ocean Parkway on Shabbos. So if we don't abide by it, do we have to hold that? Is there upon the delivery boy, or is the delivery boy not so?
Again, as I mentioned, the rule of Maisa Akum, if there's a day that holds that it's mutter, there's no Yisra Hana. So even if you don't hold by the Eruv, there's no Yisra Hana. Yeah.
So you said that. So if a Jew is supposed to an Akum, if a Jew bakes you a cake, you don't have if on Shabbos it's extra for you forever.
Forever.
So what about like if a Jew like turns a light on for you?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that light's
usher
you forever?
You not light. You could shut it off. Right after Shabbos, you shut it off, you turn it back on. But that, and by the way, it makes a difference. If the Jew does a malach for you, b'mezin. In other words, the Jew has to know that there's an iser on Shabbos to do it, and the Jew is doing it knowingly for you. You're talking about a Jew that is you know, doesn't know about a halacha, doesn't know anything, that does a malach, that's not mezin, that's shogeg. And then it's not also for you forever, but you can't get enough from it on Shabbos. Yeah.
The case of the newspaper you're talking before, you're talking about if you have a subscription, right? But if you were to be on a university campus and they distribute newspapers, like the commentators say, that would be printed on Shabbos. But if it was printed on Shabbos, would you be allowed to pick it up from within, assuming it's an Erev?
Yeah. Yeah, you should be mechavi not to make a kinyan. You're not allowed to make a kinyan on Shabbos. You're not allowed to acquire things on Shabbos. But you could take it with negative kavanah. You're not going to acquire. You just want to read it.
But there's no issue of work being, if you don't have a subscription, there's no issue. There's no chashash that it could be by you taking a newspaper, they'll therefore print more news. No?
I don't know. Again, if you, let's say you go to, I don't know, there's some universities that are very high percentage Jewish. Very, very high percentage Jewish.
Why are you?
And then it could be a problem of my sa'akum. You understand? If you have rogue Jews there, you have a problem with my sa'akum. Yeah.
I'm going to clarify, if you have a Jewish paper boy, can you not take in the newspaper at all, or can you just not read it?
A Jewish paper boy?
Yeah. So why do we have a Jewish paper boy? We not take in the newspaper, or can you just not read it?
You're not, it's the same thing as a non-Jew. The only difference, in other words, because he's a shogeg, he doesn't really know that he's not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. He doesn't know. It's a shogeg. The only difference is that right after Shabbos, you could get Hana. While the non-Jewish, you'd have to wait the amount of time that it would take him normally to, you know,
to deliver.
You know, there's more chamur by the Akum. Yeah.
What about the fact that many journalists have a really high percentage of Jewish? And it's really easy to figure that out.
Journalists, I don't think halachically we recognize intellectual property as a chayfetz. You know, the journalist just put down an idea. That idea is not a chayfetz you can get hana from. It's the actual print that you're getting hana from. The content, the idea that's on a piece of paper is not a chayfetz that we consider hana from.
What if the layout person is Jewish?
That would be a problem.
Or the executive.
Yes.
What's the denotationality of the newspaper and also do we relate to mail?
I think that again, Kadeshiyasa in most cases would be the amount of time it would take to, let's say, take from the drop-off point of the truck to bring to your house. No, I don't know. You might live near the truck drop-off. It could be a half an hour. I don't know how far of a walk or drive it is from the drop-off. Yeah.
And if you're getting like a valuable package such that, and the mailman brings it, can you ask him just like to leave it inside the house as opposed to like on the porch?
Once he's standing on the porch, you could ask him, could you please put it in the house, put it on the table here. Yes, because it's moktza. That's moktza. and it's mutter to ask him to move mok. So you're not asking him when he's standing in the shudder rabbin to come into the shudder yafin. Yes?
Just to clarify, if like, the time when I want to take that comes on Shabbos, in a case of an error, you're not allowed to read it because it's Purim.
No, I didn't say that. You're not allowed to read it because the guy delivered it from the sidewalk to your house.
In the case of an error, whether it's an error.
Or whether it's, if it's an error. If the truck, if let's say the truck filled with newspapers,
yeah,
drives into the error,
yeah,
and then unloads, and then the postman, whatever, you know, takes forwarding from that point, then he's walking in an Erev.
But then there's no din of Moksha that was made on Shabbos.
I don't think that there would be a din of Moksha for a newspaper made on Shabbos. The din of Moksha of something made on Shabbos is if you have something that is completely changed its form on Shabbos. As an example, according to some Achronim, if you bake cake or you bake a bread on Shabbos, that has like a din of nolad where it's muktzah because it was created on Shabbos. In other words, but a piece of paper, a blank piece of paper that somebody drew a picture on, I don't think that that's considered nolad, that didn't exist before Shabbos and now becomes muktzah.
So, based on an error, you have to read non-newspapers.
Pardon me?
So, in the case of an error, you have to read non-newspapers.
If you know that the mitziyut is that it wasn't carried into the eruv by the postman, in other words, it was a truck that came and delivered it into the eruv. It's not so partial.
Isn't it coming from outside the tzum originally?
Hmm?
Isn't it originally coming from outside the tzum?
Yeah, but you have to assume that the paper was printed in a place where there are Jews. If it wasn't, if it was printed like in some outback, then it's outside the tzum and it would be moksikos of tzum. Those are the three things you have to check when you're talking about newspapers and letters. Is number one, is moksikos is outside of the tzum. Number two, Maisa'akum, and number three, Shtari Hedyalto. You have to be able to answer those three questions in order for it to be mutter. Yes, George.
If it's printed from outside,
it was printed on Shabbos. In a place where there aren't any Jews in that area, it was printed, then it's mutter. Because of Tchum.
It doesn't stop it in such a case?
Hmm? I don't know. I don't know. In other words, I guess it would have to do. The question would be how important it was. You know, the object. It was a luxury item. You have a suffix. I don't know that you should just start and say, "Oh, suffix lekulo." That's number one. Number two, it's a suffix that with a little bit of effort, you could find out where it was printed and where it originated. That's also, you know, it's a suffix that you could easily reveal the answer to your suffix. I don't know, you could just assume, oh, it's a suffix lahalacha and suffix the rabban lekula. Yeah?
2,000 amas transfers in 300 miles. How many feet is an
amma? Generally, an amma is a half a yard. An amma is a meter.
1 meter, 1.5
meter. Half a meter. Okay. All right. That's all, folks.
Okay. What? New York Times is printed with inner kilometer.